You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
People follow the leader. They do what he tells them to do, whether it makes sense or not.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, send your Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive the comfort of faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. In your love, help us to love your Word. Bring us the good news of your grace and kindness in Christ Jesus. Warm our hearts to show love toward you and one another, and fill our lips with your praise. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. When I was a boy, we did not have electronic games to play. Most of the time, we made up our own games. One of those games was shinny. It was a kind of field hockey played with any old stick that was available and a beat-up old tin can. It was a lot of fun, even though we often came home with skinned shins, which probably accounts for the fact that it received the apt name of shinny. Another great game was Follow the Leader. Picture a bunch of children consisting of both boys and girls. One was the leader. If the leader ran 20 feet, everybody did it. If he fell on his face, the rest would do the same. If he jumped over a fence, the others did it too, or at least they tried to do it. We didn't know it at the time, but we were acting out what sometimes becomes a feature of life. People follow the leader. They do what he tells them to do, whether it makes sense or not. Sometimes things work out that way, and sometimes they do not. When they don't, you can always blame the leader. It wasn't your fault, it was his. It wasn't your fault that the football game was lost, even though you missed one block or tackle after the other. It was the quarterback, or as football is played these days in the United States, it was the coach's fault. Leadership is necessary in life. Leadership can be intelligent, or it can be stupid. The leader may have good intentions, but his capacity for leadership does not match the brilliance of his fine-spun theories. Following the leader can be disappointing and even destructive. It can result in blindly going where no sensible person would venture if he took a good look at the situation. It's possible also to follow the leader intelligently. Having learned to know God when he met Jesus Christ, St. Paul did not hesitate to encourage people, follow the leader. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he said, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit which dwells in you. Paul went on to say, my brothers, you have an obligation, but it's not to live as our human nature wants us to. For if you live only according to your human nature, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death your sinful actions, you're going to live. Having met Jesus Christ, coming to know God not only as the judge of humanity, but as the Savior of the world, Paul summoned people to follow a new drummer. He urged them to follow intelligently the leadership of the Spirit whom Christ promised to send into the world. all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Somehow, the world has been led to give following bad marks. We promote the idea that everybody has to be a leader. If you're not a leader, you're a failure. If you're not at the head of the class, on the first team, or tops in your profession, you've failed. Governed by that mistaken idea, the world is absolutely filled with failures. Not so, said St. Paul. Some of the best-known so-called leaders have been themselves the greatest failures. Spurred by a big ego with very little to back it up, they have led people down a primrose path with no promise of anything but failure. The history of the world is loaded with the wreckage of such leadership. The leader himself went over the wall and fell on his head. Intelligent following is just as important as good leadership. The best leadership frequently comes from the ranks of intelligent followers who've learned from experience to sift the good from the bad or the better from the worse. They know what it means to suffer. Out of that suffering come forth tried and tested and true leaders. Judge by that standard and any other standard you want to mention. Christ is the greatest leader of all time. No other leader can even hold a candle to him. Everybody has to recognize this, even though he may have no intention of following Christ. We remember Jesus Christ today on Pentecost, or Whit Sunday, as it is called in some parts of the world. His disciples remembered him as the real, if sometimes unrecognized, leader of the world, made perfect through sufferings. He took it all, not for his own sake, but for the sake of the whole world. He suffered and died for the sins of the whole world. He came through, not unscathed, but untainted by sin, by all that rebellion, that battling against God, that indifference to the will of God, and that outright defiance for God, for which he suffered and died to atone for the sin of the world. Moved by the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit whom Christ promised to send, the apostles of Christ became heralds of a joyful and Spirit-filled message. You who were once estranged and hostile in your minds, given to evil deeds, Christ has now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you holy and blameless and without a charge against you in his presence, provided that you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which you've heard. Pentecost is a Greek word meaning 50th. It's celebrated in the Feast of Weeks of the Hebrews. The feast happened to fall on the 50th day after Easter. In the classical Hebrew calendar, this was the day the early harvest was celebrated, as well as the commemoration of the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses to be transmitted to the Hebrew people on Mount Sinai. These commandments were inscribed on stone. On the first Christian Pentecost, the early believers came together in prayer, commemorating the resurrection. They experienced a new happening, not written in stone, but in the flame of God's Holy Spirit touching the hearts of people. The Spirit of God engraved the Word of God on the hearts and in the lives of people who believed and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Of His Spirit, coming from the Father Himself, Jesus said, "When He comes, He will testify of Me." Wherever Jesus Christ is proclaimed as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, the Spirit of God is in it. The power of God is in the Word, the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. The power can be detected not only in the Word, but in the believing, in the pulsating life which is characteristic of sons and daughters of God, members of His family by faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ himself is sometimes called the Holy Spirit. He moves people to follow Jesus, to trust Jesus, and to receive him into their lives. That's the way it happens. Just as the Bible says, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Jesus is not just an inspiring figure from the past. He did not just live a beautiful life long ago or leave us with a lovely set of ideals and principles. Jesus, the eternal Son of the living God, became one of us. He lives forever by resurrection from the dead as one of us. He did not hesitate to take our place, human as we are, to bring us again into the presence of God, forgiven and forgiving. He suffered once the just for the unjust to bring us to God. The Spirit of God is a modest spirit. He does not promote himself. He proclaims Jesus Christ. He's always telling people about the virtues of Christ and how much he means to us all. Paul followed the lead of the Spirit, concentrating on what the Spirit of God does. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is never spoken of as a vague, cloudy sort of it. The Holy Spirit is a vital personal power bringing to people the person of Jesus Christ, the heart and core of both the Spirit's message and the Spirit's mission. Jesus Christ, Son of God, was obedient to his Father. St. Paul said, "All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, the maker and the manager of the universe. Wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He wants to be in contact with you. And he wants you to be in contact with him as a parent with a child. He loves you and is pleased when you love him with all the personal qualities of your being. On a warm, clear day, the sun shines brightly on many people. Any person in that large number can say, "The sun is shining on me." The sunshine of God's love falls on many people. Each one who accepts the fact that Jesus laid down his holy life for all of us has the right to say, "God's love is shining with all its intensity and warmth directly on me." The Spirit of God invites you to say from the heart, "The Almighty Creator of billions of stars is my Father. He cares for me. He loves me with an everlasting love. All his promises are for me." Spirit of God also empowers you to say, "I love him. I accept his promises for me. I will follow the one whom he sent and live as a worthy member of his family." Follow the leader, Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God blazes the trail for you toward Christ. That's a good way to go. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, said St. Paul, but you have received the spirit of sonship. Follow the trail of Christ, blazed by the Spirit of Christ, and make a great discovery. God is not your enemy. He is your friend. His commands are not meant to hurt you. In the love, wisdom, and power of God, you will not lose your way. Everything works out for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. The Lord is sun and shield. His heart and health to your spirit. You can talk to him as a son or daughter talks to a loving father, "Abba, Father." The personality of Jesus is in that word, "Abba." The disciples heard him pray that way to his father. It's a familiar word, a touching word, a personal word, an affectionate word, something like the word some children use when they call their father daddy. It's a respectful word, at the same time disclosing the loving feeling of a son or daughter toward a loving father. Not a grandfather, mind you, but a father, exercising authority and flooding the household with kindness. The first thing I was taught by my parents was to follow the leader. The first thing I learned was to call my father and mother, Papa and Mama. And then I learned to pray this little prayer, "Abba, Father." We pronounced Abba the same way as the Lord Jesus did. I did not understand everything about God, and I don't understand everything about him today, but I did understand that he loved me, and I could love him. The Holy Spirit does that for people, young or old. He is the spirit of sonship, not the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. It is the spirit of God himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those under the law, so that by adoption, so to speak, we might learn to trust in Christ, God's Son, and receive the great name of sons and daughters in his family. In the Roman world, an adopted child was by no means a second-class son or daughter. Some emperors and businessmen would adopt young men and appoint them their successors, to the exclusion of their own blood and flesh sons. An adopted son might have more of the father's spirit and might carry on his work better than a natural son. Is that so strange? Big businesses, fortunes, and empires have gone to pieces in the hands of inept sons. Companies that took decades to build and stabilize have fallen apart and gone bankrupt because the sons did not have the spirit of their fathers. Children of God by adoption through his grace become real sons and daughters. Follow the leader. The Spirit of God himself is at work in the world. People who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. When you cry, Abba, Father, it's the Spirit himself bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Follow the leader. Pray to God, my friend. There's no disgrace or shame in prayer. Through prayer, you confess your dependence upon God. What's wrong with a child of God asking for the help of his father? What's wrong with an heir of God and a fellow heir with Christ looking to God because of his victorious son, the shadow of a mighty rock in a weary land? Jesus Christ triumphed through suffering in obedience to his father's will. First the cross, and then the crown. The gift of God's Spirit, following his leadership, led by him through bright and dark days, is life, and more life. He gives joy to overcome sorrow, love to overcome hatefulness, and finally life to overcome death. First the cross, and then the crown. If you suffer with him, the leader of suffering, you will also be glorified with him, the Lord of glory. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. But the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Yes, good people, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. And the Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Follow that leader. Amen.